ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Over the weekend, the federal government announced it wants to make two important changes for tertiary students and graduates, many of whom are seeing their student loans rise inexorably in recent years. The HECS Help Scheme, the loan that you take out if you can't pay for your degree up front, will now be indexed to whichever is lower of the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, or the Wage Price Index, the WPI. And that will be backdated a year, that change, if it passes through Parliament. So big savings for some people there. Plus, if you're studying nursing, teaching, midwifery or social work, you'll now be paid a weekly amount during your placement, about $320, because that work used to be completely unpaid for weeks and weeks and weeks. I'm interested to hear from you today. Will these changes make a difference for you or the people in your life? Does it perhaps make it more likely that you would look at getting a particular university degree? Does it make you think about the debt that you're taking on if you consider or your kids consider going to university or tertiary education? Professor Andrew Norton is a professor in the practice of higher education policy at ANU. Andrew, welcome to Life Matters. Great to have you with us, Andrew. Thanks. And Professor Christine Morley is a professor in the School of Public Health and Social Work at Queensland University of Technology. Christine, lovely to have you with us today.
Thank you.
I imagine this will touch a nerve with people of across quite a few generations, and I'm keen to hear from you about what you think about this idea of changing the indexation, the way that HECS is indexed, maybe making it potentially easier for people to keep those debts manageable and to have paid placement. Andrew, for the many among us who aren't familiar with the Wage Price Index, and without getting too deep into the economic weeds, what might this proposed change mean in practice? How much could people save?
So the Wage Price Index measures increases in wages for the same job. So normally the Wage Price Index is actually higher than CPI. So only four times so far this century has it been lower. But that does include last year. So this means that if this goes through the Parliament, indexation from last year, which was 7.1%, will go down to 3.2%. And for this year, it's set to be 4.7%. It'll go down to 4% or sort of 4.1% or 2%. So there'll be quite significant savings. The government thinks on average it'll save people who helped. It's about $1,200.
So, I mean, $1,200 off potentially a multi-$1,000 debt over your lifetime. How much is that going to help? Is it just that it won't compound as much?
It won't compound as much, and you'll probably finish repaying a few months earlier than you would otherwise.
A few months,
Because once you're in a reasonable job, you actually repay quite a lot per year under our current system. I guess what we're really trying to do here is reassure people that they won't get into a debt spiral. So there's some reassurance that we just will not indefinitely index you at 7% like we did last year.
Well, I mean, this is a bit of an unusual point in time, isn't it? Inflation has been quite high. Is that the main issue at the moment that's made the government say, oh, look, we need to change this? Or is this a longer term problem?
Look, I think it's a longer term problem in the sense that we've had this CPI indexation since this system started back in 1989. But the long period of low inflation we had prior to 2022 has perhaps made us complacent about the possible impact, particularly as you consider now that 3 million people have help debt, our average are owe about $26,500. So it just has implications for people in a way that it simply didn't in the past. And we need to take that into account in policy.
Interesting text. I went back to uni for a second time as a mature age student. I paid off the undergrad loan. I didn't think about the massive debt, but now I regret it. At that point, student debt didn't affect getting a home loan, and I assumed everything would be fine, but everything went wrong. The career plan didn't work out, partly because there's not enough, just not enough jobs anymore, they say. I'm unemployed and the debt isn't getting paid off at the moment. Andrew, you suggested that instead of using these two variable rates and using the lower of the CPI or the WPI, the government should index this rate, this debt at a lower rate or even a capped rate. Why do you argue that?
So the problem I'm trying to head off here is that just as we've been caught by a period of high inflation we weren't expecting, we could also be caught by a period of both high inflation and high wage increases, which we've had in the past. And so what I want to do is totally reassure people 4% is the worst it can ever get, and they can factor that into their decision whether to take out a loan in the first place or try and work out how long it might take to repay their current loan. At the moment, I think wage price index is going to deliver benefits in the short term, but it may not be a long-term protection.
Interesting text echoing quite a few other texts coming in, Andrew. Why is HEX indexed at all? I mean, is it just that we need some of the billions of dollars that the government has banked on from that debt?
That's the basic reason. So this is actually a very expensive scheme for the government. Now, in most years, they're borrowing money on the bond markets and re-lending to students at a lower rate CPI. That hasn't been true in the last couple of years, but it is normally true. And so this helps offset the significant cost of actually the government having $80 billion on its books of lending of help loans.
So the government loses money generally on dealing with the HECS help loans. Is it that the universities benefit from that?
Look, the universities benefit because the students have access to money that they wouldn't otherwise have, and that obviously means far more students than would have been the case with an alternative scheme. But I think, this is kind of, the government is kind of managing the risks that students face, both financial and, the real protection in this scheme is if your income is low, you don't repay at all. This is one of your previous callers, currently unemployed. You don't make any repayments at all. But if you're in America, that person would default on their loan or have all sorts of issues with their credit rating.
There are lots of people too, though, saying, look, when I'm working, I'm paying it off. And as you say, I'm losing a big chunk of tax time. If I take time out, for example, for caring responsibilities, that debt continues to rise, but my earning capacity does not. Do we need to change that aspect of it?
Look, I think it's hard to do in the sense that from the government's point of view, it's already designed to deal with this situation. So we've got a subsidised indexation system. And so as long as the debts aren't too high, this is not going to have a dramatic effect on their repayment times.
We're speaking with Andrew Norton, who's a professor in the practice of higher education policy at ANU. And Professor Christine Morley is our guest today too, in the School of Public Health and Social Work at Queensland University of Technology. And we'll get to that payment that they want to bring in for placements very soon as well. Just a few representative texts. Sean from Queensland, if university can't be free, then it shouldn't be indexed. Another, I've always thought it unfair that to become a plumber, electrician, builder, etc., you don't get burdened with a student debt, but to get into nursing, midwifery, teaching, etc., you do. It seems sexist, says Ella from Ballarat, especially when you consider the earning potential from these career choices. The changes are good, but why can't nursing, midwifery and teaching be like a trade, where you do an apprenticeship with no HEX debt and pay for the work you do? No wonder we don't have enough teachers, midwives and nurses, says Ella. 0418 226 576, if you'd like to contribute to this discussion. Andrew, just quickly, is applying indexation to student debts actually the biggest problem, or is it the amount that people are paying to get a tertiary education in the first place? Is the one kind of a band-aid for the other?
Well, in some ways, this is just highlighted that a lot of people have got quite significant debts. Like, some of that is due to some courses, such as arts at the moment, being overpriced relative to their likely earnings. But the other issue, people have increasingly done postgraduate degrees as well, sometimes straight after their undergraduate course, before they've ever repaid anything. And when you do that, it's pretty easy to get debts in the $50,000 to $100,000 range at the start of your career. And I think when that happens, it is going to take you a long time to really get it under a manageable level.
Christine Morley, let's look at the new payments suggested for student placements. First up, why are there degrees and careers that require unpaid placements as part of the qualification? And I guess why some and not others?
Yes, that's a very good question. And, I think Ella from Ballarat was spot on when she kind of identified the gendered nature of, how we pay apprentices for trades, for example, but the female-dominated professions like nursing, midwifery, social work, teaching, etc., which are seen as vocational education rather than training, fall under the Fair Work Act that can allow their work as placement to remain unpaid.
So many texts coming in on the placements issue, as well as many other aspects of this. Totally unfair, says one. I did a 4-year social work degree as a single parent of 2 primary age children and had to do 2 500-hour placements without pay. It put us on the poverty line. Another says, I noticed that the list of professions that will receive a less than minimal professional placement payment are very female dominated, and also doesn't include psychologists, who pay upwards of of $120,000 to become a clinical psychologist and also have to do placements. General sense is that HEX is a burden on the future of our country. Christine, tell us a bit more about how many hours people are needing to work unpaid at the moment and the effects that it has on them.
Yes, well, as you mentioned, social workers do 1,000 hours of unpaid work, and that's done into 500-hour blocks. So students often have to give up their paid work in order to undertake those placements. Nurses do 800 hours of unpaid work. Teachers do 600 hours of unpaid work. Clinical psychologists, you mentioned a moment ago, I think they do 1,000 hours of unpaid work. Physiotherapists and professions like that can even, you know, it varies, but they can do 1,500 hours. Possibly more.
It was a bit disturbing to read that, you know, people had been reporting to you really basic things. I'm having to choose between petrol to get to the placement and food. What kind of impacts does it have on people if they're having to do these 16, 20, 26 weeks under those conditions?
Well, it's devastating. They're saying they can't access, you know, medications that they might need. They can't access basic necessities. They're having to give up rental properties and go and live with parents, potentially, even if they're mature age students with their own children. And some talked about how frightening the loss of independence is for them, you know, while they're trying to study to better themselves, ironically. You know, we've had students talking about going into massive debt while they're doing placement, in addition to the HEX debts that they're accumulating. So, you know, the implications for mental health and so on are profound and very adverse.
Yes, indeed. Well, so $319.50 a week means tested. How much will that help, Christine?
Well, certainly for those students who are, you know, skipping meals and, you know, choosing between petrol to get to placement and food, it will help those students. It will make a difference. But, you know, personally, I couldn't live on $319 a week. It's not a living wage. You know, we would have hoped to see the rate closer to the minimum wage, which is, you know, closer to $882 a week. So it's significantly less than what we would hope, given that there are costs associated with placements as well, like parking, petrol. Some placements require uniforms, travel costs, and so on. So, look, this payment will help with some of those expenses, but it's still going to be tough for students.
Yes, indeed. Professor Christine Morley is a professor in the School of Public Health and Social Work at Queensland University of Technology. With us too is Professor Andrew Norton from the Practice of Higher Education Policy at ANU. Really interesting text coming in, telling stories mainly about the difficulties involved in getting some of these degrees. I completed my Masters of Social Work full-time while working full-time in Sydney. I was required to move to two different towns and leave my Sydney job for both 500-hour placements across 2 years in order to afford to do my placement and live. I was only able to do this because I didn't have kids or a mortgage, but it would be impossible now. We're desperate for social workers on the front lines, so anything that makes it easier is welcome. A placement payment would have made my life so much easier. Andrew, how much will these changes, if they're passed through Parliament, affect the kind of higher education landscape? Are they going to help that perception or understanding that some degrees are going to really cost you if you want to go into them? Are they going to encourage people to go into those degrees more?
Well, I think hopefully it'll help more people complete them, even if it doesn't get more of them into this course in the first place. But I think my key concern really is about the means test that the government is talking about. So we've got means tested benefits, youth allowance, you know, our study, AB study already, but their numbers have been falling. And I think the reason is the means test means that too few people qualify. So if we use the existing means test, the risk is that a lot of people who need this money won't in fact be eligible or will only be eligible for part of it.
Right. Okay. It's a very complicated landscape, higher education, I find. It's always really interesting to delve down into it and look at what the longer term implications might be. Do we need to do something, Andrew, about making some of these degrees more attractive to people? They're degrees we really need, aren't they? I mean, nursing, midwifery, teaching, social work. What might change the attractiveness of those degrees?
Well, the previous government did substantially discount the prices for nursing and teaching, so they do pay much less than other students for their course in the first place. But ultimately, I think people do not choose courses based on the price of the course. You know, they choose courses based on the occupation they want to be in. And so I think it's really, really important that, you know, nursing and teaching be attractive professions, you know, rather than fiddling with details of the higher education system if we want more people in those jobs.
But isn't that going to depend a bit on what background the students are coming from? Because if you're coming from a background of disadvantage, you might well be saying, well, look, I love doing that work, but I can't afford to have a massive debt and little prospect of paying it off for a really long time. And these texts are really illuminating on that, I think. Even if the government can't afford to provide free education, a loan for education shouldn't be indexed at all. My son, with an $80,000 debt after a BA and a double master's and secure government employment, can't get a home loan for more than $250,000 because of his HEX. Isn't there going to be a difference in how those consequences are weighed up for different people, Andrew?
Well, this mortgage issue is actually quite a new one. So banks have always taken into account your annual debt repayments. That directly affects your servicing of the loan. But in the last 2 years, due to APRA, the financial regulator, they're also taking into account the total debt you hold, which really has no influence on your annual repayments. And that's caused, you know, lots of cases like that person where they can only borrow much less than they would really like to borrow and could reasonably service given their income. So the government has written to the banks asking what's happening here, and be interested to see what happens as a result.
Yeah, I would love to see the ABA's response to Jason Clare's letter on that one. It'd be fascinating. Yep. Christine Morley, do you have thoughts on the kind of longer term landscape that we need to be looking at here, the way we fund some of these degrees and the way we get particular people into them?
Well, as you've pointed out, these are all vital professions and there are workforce shortages in these professions that have only intensified since COVID and are projected to become much worse. So this is a very welcome, you know, implementation by government to subsidise some of the costs associated with placements. We have social work, we have high numbers of mature age women with caring responsibilities, First Nations students, students with a disability and students from low socioeconomic backgrounds. So we really do need to make sure that the means testing is not excluding students who really need that support and, you know, who may fall through the cracks.
Text messages are pouring in. It's insane the number of people wanting to contribute to this. My daughter's a full-time midwife who's been completing a nursing degree to expand her skills and employment opportunities. She's completed all the coursework but is unable to complete the 20 weeks of placement because she'd need to give up her full-time job and be unable to pay her mortgage and living expenses. Will this new placement payment assist her or will she miss out due to means testing? That's from Michelle in Canberra. Can you speak to that one example, Christine?
Yeah, I think what she outlined is a really common experience for students. We know that the placements do stop people from completing their degrees. We would hope that this payment goes some way towards enabling that. It's not clear at this point what the means testing criteria will be. It's not clear, for example, whether international students will be excluded. We would hope that international students are, of course, one of the cohorts that are included, although currently they're not eligible for any kind of government assistance. And yet, you know, they're a cohort that we will absolutely need to fill those workforce shortages and to complete their degrees.
Andrew, just finally and just quickly, these changes draw on the Australian Universities Accord recommendations, and that talked a lot about increasing the percentage of Australians attending higher education. Is that the way that we should be going?
Look, I think they are over-ambitious targets, like half the cohort by 2050. And I think at this stage, and some of these calls reflect this, you know, the economic returns for some people simply aren't there. And so we should be more cautious about expanding the system.
More cautious. Excellent. Well, that will be interesting again to see how that plays out. Andrew Norton, Christine Morley, thanks so much for your time on Life Matters.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Professor Christine Morley is a professor in the School of Public Health and Social Work at Queensland University of Technology. And Professor Andrew Norton is a professor in the practice of higher education policy at ANU.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand
on the ABC Listen app.